Mieczysław Weinberg was born in Warsaw in 1919 to a Jewish family. At age 12, he went to the Warsaw Conservatory. His musical family saw a great concert pianist career in his future. But the rest of his music education depended on where he could evade German soldiers. In 1939, he fled to the Belarusian capital Minsk and then to Uzbekistan in 1941. His family wasn't able to run with him. His father, mother, and sister all perished in the Travniki concentration camp in Poland. Weinberg composed sonatas, quartets, ballets, suites, symphonies, everything. At the end of his life, he had written more than 150 opus works, including 27 chamber and orchestra symphonies, 7 operas, multiple film scores, 28 sonatas, 30 song cycles, 3 ballets, and 17 string quartets. But it was really his relationship with Shostakovich that really pulled his career along. In 1943, he sent the score of his first symphony to Shostakovich, who invited Weinberg to move to Moscow. There they became lifelong friends and colleagues, influencing each other's music. Anti-Semitism decimated Weinberg's family in Poland, but it also led to the suppression of his music in the Soviet Union, but this time under the guise of anti-imperialist doctrine. Russian communism condemned any artist with Western styles in their works, and Weinberg joined the ranks of prosecuted composers under the charge of bourgeois Jewish nationalism. It was this charge and this regime that would keep his legacy and his music essentially concealed for the rest of the 20th century up to today. In his years after arrest and imprisonment, Weinberg composed scores for radio, theater, and film, including a Russianized version of Winnie the Pooh. With these scores, along with the composition of a choral symphony in tow, Weinberg began composing his first opera, The Passenger, from the years 1967 to 1968. But the full opera didn't premiere until 2010, first at the Bregenzer Festspiele in Austria, and now it's quite trendy. The Polish National Opera performed it in 2010, and then the English National Opera performed it in 2011. The American premiere was at the Houston Grand Opera in 2014, and there were some performances in New York City. And today it opens at the Lyric Opera of Chicago.
This is a real event that happened. The responsibility that I feel as an artist to tell the story with honesty and integrity and sensitivity is just overwhelming sometimes because I feel like I have a mission, you know, for all of these people to be a voice, you know, for all of those people who suffered so senselessly.
That was Amanda Majeski, who is playing one of the leads in Chicago, Marta. Marta is a prisoner at Auschwitz. When she arrived there 2 years previously, she was separated from her fiancé, Tadeusz.
You know, you first see Marta and she's doing what they're asking of her and she's taking care of other people in the camp and she's kind of the mother figure and she stands up for herself and for others. And then she has this deeply personal moment where she meets her fiancé again, and she didn't know if he was alive, she didn't know if he was still there, and so then it becomes, you know, very personal for her, and it's tricky to manage vocally because it just gets so intense, and yet you still have to be mindful of the fact that you're singing, and you have to sing with technique and breath and all of that stuff, but sometimes it's easy to just let that emotion take over you.
Ваши голоса.
What Majewski points to is this overwhelming realness that permeates throughout the entire opera. For one, it's a Holocaust story that resonates with Weinberg's family's biography. And for two, Marta is based on a real Polish Auschwitz survivor, Sofia Pojcznicz. And then there's Lisa.
My character is actually based on a real overseer in Auschwitz. That was a big thing. And when I went over there and I contacted the archive department, they were able to hand me all the testimonial books. And they pulled all the books and they actually had it all tabbed for me for Lisa anytime her name was in the testimony. So I copied them all. They're all in Polish. And so I had to word by word go and try to translate just to kind of get a better understanding of who she was.
That was Davida Karanas, and indeed she went to Auschwitz to understand her character.
I did not know what to expect. I mean, I saw photos and I saw, you know, documentaries and stuff, but going there, I took a taxi ride to Oswiecim, which is where Auschwitz is located, and it's about an hour, hour and a half outside of Krakow. The countryside is absolutely beautiful, so it's surrounded by forests and by a river, which is why the Germans chose this place, because it's very isolated and people wouldn't be able to easily find it. My hotel was right across the street from the first camp. I was the only one there, and they made sure to give me the best room, which of course had the view, which I kept the curtains closed the whole time. It was very dark, it was very depressing.
In the opera, Lisa torments Marta and the women in their part of the camp with physical overuse and psychological games. At Auschwitz, Karanas was struck by the psychological abuse found even in the structures themselves.
So in the two-day tour, the first day we visited the first camp, which is Auschwitz, and a lot of the buildings were these brick barracks, and they were relatively nice looking for what I had assumed as a concentration camp. And there were these bunk beds that were put in there. And what the Nazis had done was that they had purchased these bunk beds and they had placed them in these barracks in case the Red Army had showed up, that they would have seen that they were treating them well. It was all kind of like this sort of facade. And then when we went the second day to Birkenau, which is what the set is from, those places were actually horse barracks that they had brought in. They were horse barns. There was no insulation from the elements, and it was just a lot more cruel and more calculated. Like, I think that was the biggest thing I learned about, just how calculated the Nazi party was in terms of how to exterminate them.
The passenger set mimics these structures down to the minute details, according to Karanas. The Holocaust narrative with Lisa and Marta is interwoven with another story, that of Lisa aboard a ship to Brazil in the 1960s with her husband, who knows nothing of her overseer past. When she sees a passenger who looks exactly like Marta, the repression of her past life is shocked into remembrance, and the feelings of shame, horror, and need for deliverance shape the rest of the voyage. Instead of a one-dimensional evil overseer, Karanas tried to find the human behind the horrific acts.
These girls, a lot of them were not educated. And when they did go to school, they started learning this Hitler doctrine. It started in 1933. So they grew up with this sort of this belief system. And to just have that constantly be sort of force-fed to you. A lot of the women, they either were drafted into the service or they volunteered. You want to make your country proud. You want to make your leader proud of you. Coming from sort of humble beginnings, like most of these girls, they grew up on farms and stuff, and they really didn't have much in terms of a future. And to be given something to do, I think a lot of them just kind of jumped in, not really knowing, you know, what they were getting into.
Weinberg's music reflects the multidimensionality of the characters while keeping the sensitivity necessary for any Holocaust story. Instead of a victim, Marta reveals the strength of the prisoners. This is Majewski again.
It's a little bit bombastic at times. It can be very violent sounding. There are parts of it that kind of remind me of a film soundtrack score, because it can be very loud and very, you know, intense sounds coming from all different directions. And I think he does a really nice job of writing for, you know, how violent it was in the camp. But then the nice thing about my character is that I get a lot of the melodies. There are parts that are very, very lyrical and very folk-like. And so I feel great about the fact that I get a little bit more humanity to my music and a little more, you know, something that the audience can grab onto and understand.
Each character has their own music, and that's really wonderful. My husband came with me to the opening in Houston, and after Act One, I asked him, I said, so what do you think? He goes, oh, I don't know. That Act One music is just really hard. And I said, well, that's great. That's all of my music. And it's because it is supposed to be hard. As an audience member, you are not supposed to be comfortable when I'm singing. So it's really sort of a lot of text. It's fast tempi, lots of loud dynamics, and just kind of like in your face. And as an audience member, you're supposed to feel that. You're not supposed to sit back and relax and be like, oh, this is a nice night of the opera. I mean, your shoulders are kind of up. You're just kind of in that uncomfortable sort of, oh, so she was a overseer in Auschwitz, and, you know, it kind of just dives in. So in that way, it's just, you know, he was very creative in that, and very creative whenever I have my scenes with Marta and with Tadeusz trying to lure them to work for me. It's in a lower register, it's slow, it's very sort of smarmy and, you know, just kind of gritty in that sort of way to kind of lure them in. And then when they don't do that, it automatically turns and she's like loud and brash again. So, you know, it, for me, it's really great. I mean, it's definitely a vocal and mental workout.
The opera ends with Marta, not Lisa. She says, I will forgive, but I will never forget. Of his work, Weinberg said, many of my works are related to the theme of war. This, alas, was not my own choice. It was dictated by my fate, by the tragic fate of my relatives. I regard it as my moral duty to write about the war, about the horrors that befell mankind in our century.